Good morning, everyone. Mary Griffith Show underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. I couldn't decide which to have this morning, so I had a Diet Pepsi with Harvest Ridge Coffee, half and half. I recommend it. It's pretty darn good. So if you ever just don't know if you want coffee or if you want Pepsi, do them half and half. Take it from me. It tastes pretty good. Courtney Miller is my guest today, and we are going to be talking about Cornerstone and their mental health self-care. So, Courtney, introduce yourself to our audience again. You've been here before, but we'd like to hear all about your credentials and what got you interested in the social services and counseling field.
Sure. So my name's Courtney Miller. I mostly work with kids, but I work with some adults too. I've been a therapist for about 7 years now. I mostly got interested in the mental health field through a psychology class that I took at John Wood, and was just really interested in the topic and knew I wanted to be in a helping profession, but didn't really know what I wanted to do. So transferred to QU after then and took some more psych classes and decided that this was the path I wanted to go on. So
something that happened in college, you weren't interested, but then a class at John Wood sparked your interest, and there you go.
Yep.
And now this is your profession. By the way, I love your blouse.
Oh, thank you.
It's very pretty.
Thank you.
I want to know where you got it so I can get one. That's off topic. But we're talking today about self-care, and I look good in that blouse, so that's why I was thinking of that. I want to take care of myself. So let's talk a little bit about, from the Cornerstone perspective, you can't really take care of anybody else if you can't take care of yourself. So let's talk about self-care. We've got the whole hour, so
yeah,
you can go into as broad and expansive and detailed as you want, but oftentimes nobody takes care of themselves. They take care of their kids
yes.
first. They take care of their aging parents second. They take care of their spouse third.
Mm-hmm.
Their self is down around 5, 6, 10 mm-hmm. maybe on the list, but that's not always a good thing.
No, because you can't pour from an empty cup. So you have to be able to take care of yourself. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions maybe about self-care. It's not always just indulging on coffee every day or buying whatever the latest trend is. I think social media is a great thing, but sometimes it pushes products and tells you, oh, that's self-care. But self-care can look like setting boundaries or saying no sometimes and taking time to yourself in the evenings to do something you enjoy. All those little things that you do consistently build up and help your window of tolerance.
Well, I know before I was married and I had oodles of money because I didn't have to spend it all on my husband or what he wanted, I used to get a massage every month. And not everybody does that. Not everybody can afford that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing when you watch TV or you listen to these talk shows during the day or you, oh, get a massage, get a facial. Okay, great. I'm not putting it down. Everybody should. I haven't had one for years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is sometimes, like you say, well, just take care of yourself, you know, indulge in this, indulge in that. Well, I don't have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
so that's not an option for me. So, but there are things you can do. Taking 3 deep breaths doesn't cost
mm-hmm.
you anything. So don't get caught up in that you have to have a soft bathrobe that you have to buy new, or you have to have, you know, a massage, or you have to have a charcoal peel on your face or whatever in order to take care of yourself. Those things are nice if you can have them. But when it comes to our physical and mental health, a lot of things we can do are absolutely free of charge.
Yeah, like going out and taking a walk. Probably not today. Today's not the best day for that, but going out and taking a 30-minute walk or going out and enjoying nature and trying to be mindful of your environment that's around you, those things are free but make a big difference in the long run.
I was talking with a busy mom the other day. I called her. I said, can you talk right now? She goes, yeah. And then I heard her say, Luke, watch your brother. And she went out and took a walk. And I mean, at the end of it, she was, we're having this conversation. She's huffing and puffing, but you know, it's okay every once in a while to say, I'm going to be gone for 10 minutes. That's not going to change their life trajectory.
Yes.
They're well cared for. I'm just going to walk around the block. I'm not going anywhere. You know, if they need me, they can yell out the window or whatever.
Right.
But getting away, whatever away is, it might just be sitting on your front porch. So,
and those things, too, I think sometimes as a parent, you might see those things as, oh, I'm being selfish or taking time away from them. But honestly, those things show them that, you know, that's what you need in order to be a healthy person, and gives them that vocabulary to be able to do those things themselves as they get older, and to show them that's a healthy way to, you know, deal day to day.
Well, isn't that why we send kids to their room so they can calm down? I mean, a lot of times they're very frustrated and they have to process all this. And if we send them to their room with some direction, now go and think about what's a better way to handle this than, you know, kicking mommy.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that, I mean, it's almost like a self-imposed timeout.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of setting a boundary there too. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, in that example, if someone's hitting you, that's not okay. So
right.
We're going to put this boundary between us.
Right. But I mean, like what I'm saying is, you know, we do it to our children all the time. We say, you're frustrated right now, but no, you can't have the candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm going to do some parenting skills, which I've never had kids, so I don't have any parenting
mm-hmm.
skills, but I'm going to try to, you know, get you to calm down and conform to my wishes since I am the adult.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, teaching them that you need some time away to think, that's
mm-hmm.
something they can see mommy and daddy do mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've used examples. They've all had women in them. And we forget guys need to take care of their mental health too. What is the differentiation between men and women? Who's worse at self-care when it comes to mental health?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think both can be equally challenging in some ways. Sometimes there's a stigmatism with men and their mental health. Too. Drew and I were actually talking out in the lobby, though, about how he engages in self-care through, he enjoys grocery shopping, which is not for me. I do not enjoy grocery shopping. I do grocery pickup because for my mental health, I get stressed out at the grocery store.
Okay.
So I have found that grocery pickup is better for me, but for him, that's a relaxing activity. That's something he enjoys doing.
Let's bring Drew Quintero in. He didn't know he was going to be in, but he's in. Drew, you know, I like to go grocery shopping, too, when I'm not rushed. That's the key. I go up and down every aisle. I don't have I have a pattern. It's just I look, I go, even if I don't need anything in that aisle, because you never know what you might see on sale.
I might find something.
So how is that? I mean, what does that do for you?
For me, it is just this taking my time and moving through the store, and I can find what I need. It might spark a new idea for a meal, and it just allows me to express my creativity cooking-wise, I guess.
Okay. So you are doing it for a creative purpose because you're like, well,
yeah.
Let's do this, this, this.
You know, we also talked about, Courtney's like, I don't want to run into people I know. I'm like, oh, there are people I only see at the grocery store, and it's our one time a month or a week to run into each other, so...
Mm-hmm. So for some, the grocery store is therapy, and for others, it's not.
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe the difference for me, too, I don't enjoy cooking, so that's a stress in and of itself. So that just...
So getting something and go, ugh, now I got to make this. So it's double yicky.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to know. I'm turning you off now, Drew. Thank you for participating.
You're welcome.
Go back and do whatever it is you do, and Courtney and I are working. That is the thing. You have to find something that is relaxing to you. And you can't say, well, here are the top 10 things that relax people, because that may not be your top 10
yeah,
things.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. So that's a big thing, too. What works for you might not work for me. And really listening to your body cues. So my body cue tells me I do not enjoy going to the grocery store. That's a stressor for me. So I try to find things to avoid going to the grocery store.
So you're one of those Instacart ladies. Okay.
Yeah.
Or Hy-Vee pickup. Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing is maybe going to the grocery store would be pleasurable if you didn't have your children with you. So that's
true.
When you negotiate with your spouse or with the next door neighbor lady. Can you watch the kids while I go grocery shopping?
Mm-hmm.
You have to take these wins where you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the strategy?
Mm-hmm.
You're like you said, if you're not going to be able to afford, you know, a 3-day getaway in Cancun all the time. You're not going to be able to afford a massage. You're not going to be able to afford, you know, I need to get a massage every day if I was really doing it for stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so, but I do remember what a luxurious treat that was for
mm-hmm.
me when I used to do that. And I've often thought, why don't you go back and do that again, you know? But, you know, it just, once you get out of the habit, it's just something that you get out of the habit. When it comes to our mental health, this time of year is terrible for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so dark. And even though we sprang forward, on a day like today, you're not getting a whole lot of rays. And so it's like the darkness of winter is now rolling over. And even though it's technically spring for a few days, a lot of people are still in those seasonal affective disorder and doldrums. So give us some more examples of how men and women can, you know, just boost their mental well-being.
Yeah, so, and self-care isn't just something that you do one time of year and then you're done with it. Like, that's something you do.
Well, I took a five-minute break.
Right, you do consistently because it helps. And it's taking care of yourself physically and mentally. So, you know, some people like to go tinker in the garage. Some people enjoy reading a book. Some people enjoy taking a long shower or bath. And having that time to yourself, there's so many things that you can do.
A lot of times, though, if you're in a couple, the things that help you rejuvenate require your partner to participate in helping you, because a lot of guys like to go on Thursday night softball league and play baseball with their friends, or they mm-hmm. want to go Saturday morning and do a round of golf. That's great, but that leaves the spouse or the partner at home with the kids or at home with the housework or at home with whatever. So you have to have trade-offs where when one person's batteries are being recharged, there has to be a quid pro quo that the other person gets their turn too.
Yeah, that goes back to compromising and finding a middle ground.
Okay. What are, you know, some of the mental health issues? I was watching a Hallmark mystery. And this girl who, and she's going to be a recurring character now. This is what she's a fashion psychologist.
Oh.
Like, isn't that great?
Never
she
heard
helps
of.
People, she helps fashion houses persuade people to buy their clothing based on looking at people's psychological profiles. But she also solves murder mysteries because she's on Hallmark, you know. So she said to this guy who was putting on his fashion show, she said, what's the worst case scenario you can think of? And he told her, you know, everything fails. Nobody likes my collection. What's the best thing scenario you can think of? Oh, you know, I can't even keep up with production because everybody wants my clothes. And what's the most likely? And then that was the, well, some people will like it, some people won't, and I'll have a profitable year. Is that, I mean, I thought that was pretty good advice.
Uh-huh.
Worst case, best case, average scenario. Is that something, because we worry a lot. We tend to worry about a lot of things that aren't really going to happen.
Yeah. And part of self-care, too, like I said, is setting boundaries and, you know, saying no sometimes, but mm-hmm. it's also advocating for yourself and confronting negative thoughts and focusing more on positive things instead of letting those negative things weigh you down.
So don't think worst case scenario. I mean, maybe glance through it when you're faced with something that's coming up, but try to focus on likely scenario or best outcome.
Yeah.
Just to boost your general level of mental health. Why get more and more worried about something that at this point you cannot control? It's kind of like getting nervous during a test.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Kids get a lot of anxiety during the test. Well, you should have been nervous the night before when you didn't study for the test, but that's never what happens.
Yeah.
And their performance is often compromised just by their nerves. They could do better if they weren't so nervous, but that's something we all have to learn, right?
Yeah.
How do you say no?
Well, I think how I mentioned before, being aware of your body cues and knowing like when maybe you're becoming more stressed or more irritable, you feel like you've pulled yourself thin, and those are signs that maybe you've got too much on your plate and you need to start saying no. And it doesn't have to be this whole huge thing where you're saying it in such a negative connotation. You can just tell them, you know, I really would love to do this, but right now I don't have the space to do that. Being able to.
Do you have to always give an excuse?
You don't always have to give an excuse. No, it's just okay in and of itself if you don't want to.
And what about if the answer is really no, like, no, I would never want to do that. I don't want to be that rude, though. Say, no, that is something I would never be interested in. But what if it's, oh, I'd love to do that next year, or I'd love to do that 2 years from now. That's okay then to say, I'm saying no now, but that sounds interesting, and I might enjoy doing that. Ask me again in 2 years. That puts the ball back in their court. If you're never going to want to do that, just go ahead and tell them no.
Yeah.
because I get asked to do a lot of things. And, you know, if there's something that I genuinely would be very interested in doing, but I just can't do it now, I'll say, wow, that sounds like that'd be fun. I wouldn't mind doing that, but it's not going to happen now.
Yeah.
Is it, but do you have to give an, I mean, really, most of the time, you don't need to give an excuse.
You don't.
Because if your excuse is, I'm too busy, you know what they think? We're all too busy. And then they turn it back on you and have a negative opinion about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't give an excuse that is generic. We're all busy. That's not really the reason you're saying no. You're saying no because, yes, specifically in your mind, you are running through five things that have to happen between now and when this needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do it. Mm-hmm. So you're legitimately saying, no, I can't do that right now. But maybe ask me again later, you know, if you feel like it's something you could do later.
Yeah.
How does that work when you have a boss, though?
Well, I think with any employment, hopefully you feel comfortable enough to advocate for yourself. If you don't, it's probably not the best employment choice for you, because no one wants to feel like they're not being heard. Then you hold resentment towards your employer or another person. But being able to be open with your boss about your limits and being able to communicate how you're feeling. I know we just had a self-care hour at Cornerstone a couple weeks ago because we're all very open with our director about when we're maybe having a heavy caseload or struggling with certain clients. She kind of felt that with us and advocated for us to take a self-care hour to ourselves within our work week and not do work and just focus on us.
Smart.
I know.
Physician, heal thyself. Take your own advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you that. Courtney Miller, is it sometimes hard for Courtney Miller to say no?
It can be, yeah. I mean, I have kids, and that can be a struggle in and of itself because my son's in band and has all the A-building activities, and so it can be hard to take that time when I'm constantly running or having all these things to do, but I know that it's important for me in order to be the best version of myself that I have to consistently do those things. Sometimes it means me staying up a half hour after everyone's asleep when the house is quiet and doing something for myself. But the more that I am able to consistently do those things, the better my window of tolerance is and the more things that I can handle at one time.
If you'd have just had stupid and untalented children, you wouldn't have these problems.
Too darn
late,
the luck.
Too late now.
Darn the luck.
I've
no
got
going back.
Artistic geniuses. That's all I can deal with. Okay. Courtney Miller is my guest today. She is with Cornerstone, and, you know, Cornerstone itself had a staff meeting, and the director said, yeah, we've got to know, we have a big workload here, and we have got a lot of people with a lot of problems that we're helping, and so sometimes we have to step back and take three deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like a great thing. I never want to take advice from somebody who doesn't take their own advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way that goes. It is 9:36, and we're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, take a break. The Rex Battery brings you this report, and we'll be back to continue our discussion about self-care when it comes to mental health with Cornerstone. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Courtney Miller was doing some free diagnosis of me on the little vacation there and during the commercial break, and she's pretty much decided that I'm a basket case. But Courtney, you know, most of the times when we have a problem, we don't express, I need this, I need time, I need space, I need a physical pleasure day, if that's a warm bath, because everybody can afford that, you know. I need a walk. I need to sit out on the porch and listen to my music and not what teenagers want to hear. Whatever it is, we often can't say no, but we often don't say yes to ourselves. So get back into this and talk to us a little bit about this mental health self-care, because it's like anything else. It's kind of like eating. Oh, I'm hungry. I ate a steak. Well, I won't have to eat again for 3 months. That's not true, obviously. So we need to constantly be giving ourselves self-care. So that's why we need to find a variety of things we can do, some short-term, some long-term, some short in duration, some longer, you know, maybe where somebody has to help us. Mm-hmm. So how do we balance all that?
Well, like you said, it has to be a daily thing, and it doesn't have to be like a whole day long thing or a whole hour long thing per se. It can be a quick 15 minutes, 20, 30 minutes here and there where you're doing something you enjoy. Or, like I said, just being able to advocate for yourself, being able to say no and practicing those things more and listening to your body cues of like when something's making you uncomfortable or when you're starting to feel stressed out or overwhelmed. Those are your body's way of telling you something's amiss and you might need to be doing a little more to take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's it, the self-awareness. We often don't realize, in our physical health, we don't realize we have problems mm-hmm. until it becomes too late. And same way with our mental health, mm-hmm. until you're suddenly snapping at everybody and you're just, you know, don't wait till it gets that bad. Mm-hmm. But that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Why is it we have dishwashers and washing machines now? I'm not going down to the creek behind my house to wash my clothes. I've got a vacuum cleaner. I don't have to beat rugs out on the line. You know, everything I have makes my life easier, and yet we have no more time. A computer, I can zip, you know, what's the capital of Timbuktu, and there it is. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go into the library and get out the encyclopedia. How come we don't have any time? We should have endless time. Back mm-hmm. in the 60s, when the Jetsons were on, you know, Mrs. Jetson just sits around all day. The only thing that happens to her, she gets button finger from mm-hmm. pushing buttons for everything. What happened? Why don't we have any time?
I think that's a good question, and I'm sure it just depends on the person, but I think there's a lot of different societal expectations now. You know, you see the Pinterest moms where they're making all these different crafts and cupcakes and things, and the pressure of doing all these things for one child where they really don't eat all those things. It's like those...
I know, the Easter basket. I mean, how big yeah. does your kid's Easter basket have to be?
Yeah.
When, in the olden days, we just dyed eggs with that little stupid pos thing you bought at the store for like 57 cents, and my dad said, that's awfully expensive, you know. And we dyed our little Easter eggs, our little hard-boiled eggs, and we put our name on them in that little wax crayon so we could have our name on them. And, I mean, that we were very happy. Yeah. We were very happy. Why do we have to have so much now? What happened? I mean, is that really part of the reason we're having these mental health issues, even as children, is the consumerism?
I mean, I think there's a lot of comparison, and we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people and trying to one-up the person. It seems to be like always this constant competition, and it's very draining for everyone involved. There's more activities throughout the area now too, so your kids are involved in
everything. It's not just go out and play with your friends and get a pickup baseball game going.
Yeah.
And things like band and things like are very vital. Things like theater, things like athletics, those are critical for a child's development. Those are great things for them to be involved in. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you may have to get a core of moms and dads together to say, do I have to drive him to every practice? Couldn't we share?
Mm-hmm.
Is that also part of it? We don't know. We're so Facebook-y.
Yeah.
We don't know our next-door neighbor. We know a Facebook friend from Timbuktu.
Yeah.
Is that part of it? We're not getting the community
physically
there?
Yeah, I think that is a big piece of it. It seems like we're always doing things on our own now instead of like trying to rely on friends and family and all those supports that we have. So I do think that's a part of it. And I think helping your child narrow down some interests too, so you don't have to be involved in five sports at a time. Like that's, it's okay to cut back, and if you're feeling overwhelmed, to not do all those things. It's, you don't have to be better than the next person.
And it really boils down to, again, setting boundaries,
mm-hmm.
saying no. I'll do this for my church. I'll do this for my service club. I'll volunteer this time at school.
Mm-hmm.
I will do something because something is expected.
Mm-hmm.
But I will do something that, like you hate cooking. I can only imagine if your son comes home and says, Mom, I need 2 dozen cupcakes for the bake sale. And you're like, no, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
But there might be something else that you could do, mm-hmm. you know, that would be like, would it be possible?
Yes.
If maybe I made sure the change box was correct
yes.
and sat there maybe, you know, while I helped them sell all the other mom stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever, make something that almost anybody can make something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that used to be I'm so bad that one time at my work, they said we had to bring 2 dozen cookies to donate to the United Way, which I thought was wonderful. I love the United Way, but I thought, how can you make me do that?
Mm-hmm.
So this was really funny. I worked in Hannibal
mm-hmm.
that same day and lived in Quincy. That next day, I knew that there was a United Way bake sale in Quincy. So I went to City Hall and bought 2 dozen cookies from the United Way of Quincy bake sale and donated them to the United Way of Hannibal bake sale. I thought that was the
yeah.
ultimate. And they were homemade. They weren't homemade by me. But they were
creative.
I just gave a lady here who's going to have a baby, I gave her this beautiful crocheted thing. And she goes, did you make this? And I'm like, girlfriend, you know I didn't make that. I wasn't even going to try to lie and say, well, yes. Don't you know I'm gifted with the needle arts?
Well, you know, that's self-care in and of itself. You knew your limit.
I knew a lady who loved to make those things, so
yeah,
I gave.
Used your resources. There you go.
I always laugh. I said, why should I do anything when my friend Mary Palmer can do things?
Mm-hmm.
Just my go-to backup person. So find it. And again, we talk a lot about ladies because we are ladies. But
mm-hmm.
men, you've got to find
mm-hmm.
that time. And you also have to find time to spend time with your spouse and spend time with your children. I mean, some of that needs to be one-on-one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people with a lot of kids, it's like, how can I get just time with the oldest boy or just time with the oldest girl or just time so that they feel special?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of their self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't control that on their own, but you can tell when they're clinging
mm-hmm.
that they're really needing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the hardest, I'm sure, is
yes.
when everybody, your boss needs you, your coworkers need you, your service club needs you. Everybody does need you. How come there's so many people, though, that seem to skate by never doing anything? Or am I imagining that?
I don't know. Maybe they're really setting boundaries and saying no. They're going to the extreme version.
But I actually hear people say, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, now, can't you find something to do? I mean, I could offload you three or four volunteer things
mm-hmm.
I'm doing if you're really bored. So what does that mean? Is boredom part of not being bored is part of self-care, too? You've got to find something to stimulate you, right?
Yes, right. So maybe tapping into figuring out more interests and what you enjoy doing. And maybe it's building more of a sense of community, too. So maybe finding those people that you can spend time with. All those things help cure boredom.
I can't imagine what it's like to be bored.
Me either.
I haven't.
It would take a lot for.
I haven't been bored in a very long time. I seek boredom.
Yeah.
Boredom is my go-to. This summer, I'm going to babysit for a French bulldog who's very spoiled, and that's why I'm coming to California to babysit for this French bulldog. All I want to be when I grow up, if there's another life, if we come back as reincarnated things, I want to be this spoiled French bulldog. I mean, I have to wipe its skin every day, and
oh,
I have
goodness.
To make sure its paws are taken care of, and we have to feed it a special diet.
High maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, this dog lives better than most humans I know. This dog has a nicer life than I do. So I'm hoping while I'm out there, this dog will teach me how to relax when I'm not caring for it, perhaps. While it's asleep, maybe I can take a nap, too. That'll be my self-care plan.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
I would love to imagine.
Wouldn't you love to have a dog that was that spoiled that
yeah.
you had human beings fly halfway across the country to care for it? I guess that doesn't say much for my life because I'm the human being. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Thanks to Courtney Miller. This does not count as your hour of self-care. This was work from Cornerstone. I think what we're trying to tell people is, you know, look, you're overwhelmed. A lot of people are overwhelmed. You're overburdened. A lot of people are overburdened. This is nothing new. I mean, this is, you know, ever since we've had to run away from the saber-toothed tiger, there's been stress in our lives. So the key there is, as adults, conscientious of our own needs,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not putting down the needs of others, but putting ours on an equal par. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if your child, you know, cuts their finger off, yes, you have to go to the emergency room immediately. You can't say, mommy's doing yoga now. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that even your delicious little delightful ones can wait for while mommy finishes what she's doing. And when you teach them to respect your boundaries, you also give them permission for them to say to their friends at school, I don't want to play that game. Don't make me. Don't bully me. Don't tell me you don't like my hair bow. You're giving them permission to be a little bit more outspoken about what makes them happy too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So say no to things that you just cannot do or, frankly, you don't have any desire to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the Red Cross asks you if you'd like to be a double pheresis donor and you don't want to, but say, you know what, though? I could work in your canteen and make sure everybody had a glass of orange juice. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't, just because sometimes when people ask you to do something, they're asking you because that's a list, you know, that's a thing on their list.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just trying to fill humans with that list. If you say, what other duties do you have? You might find something you like better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all I can do is make a green bean casserole. So don't call me and ask for anything else. They know at church, green bean casserole girl.
No cookies.
No cookie. Nah, no, not doing anything. Green bean casserole. That's it. So we have to know our boundaries. Thank you, Courtney, very,
yeah,
very much.
Thanks
now we'll
me.
Turn the microphone over to the one, the only, the fabulous Drew Quintero, whose voice is heard here every day as the voice of the Mary Griffith Show promo.
That's
for which
right.
I pay him a princely sum of nothing, but he's a nice guy. But let's talk about Cornerstone. You've got a big fundraiser coming
we
up.
We do. Our 19th annual golf benefit is coming up on Friday, May 17th. Registration is now open for teams of four, and there are whole sponsorships available as well. And we are very excited to have Smith Brothers Power Sports back on board as our hole-in-one sponsor. If you get a hole-in-one on hole number two, you will win $50,000 to be split equally with Cornerstone. So if you are a avid golfer, this is a great time to come out and golf for a great cause. All of the money will stay at Cornerstone that we raise. And if you are so lucky enough to get a hole-in-one on hole number two, you will get $25,000, and Cornerstone will get $25,000.
Wow. Did you recently see at some NCAA game, regular season game, a guy had to putt the ball
across the court.
The whole court. And he did it.
I just saw that. I think it was maybe last night on TikTok.
Like
I saw
yeah.
that. And I was like, hey, buddy, you want to come play some golf?
I mean, isn't that fantastic? Of course, there you buy an insurance policy.
We do.
Smith
yes.
Brothers buys an insurance
yes.
policy
yes.
so that if it would happen, they want it to happen.
Yes.
They've already bought the policy.
Yes.
So they want somebody to hit a hole
yes.
in one.
Yes, we
they
do.
They want somebody to hit a hole in one so they can get that $50,000 payout. Half goes to Cornerstone. And is this men, women, most?
Men, women, anybody. Create a team of four for this four-person scramble. Registration, like I said, is open, so you can visit our website, cornerstone-quincy.org. We have a lovely little logo at the top of our website. Click that, and it'll take you right to the registration page. Or you can give us a call at 217-222-8254, and I'll be happy to talk with you and get your registration done over the phone.
What course is this being held at?
This will be at Spring Lake Country Club.
Good
so
course.
It's a great course, a course that not everybody gets to play all the time. So
no, because it's private, darling.
It is a private course, but you know
only
what?
The very elite.
We are very thankful to Spring Lake Country Club for hosting our event year after year. And like I said, this is our 19th year for this event, and it keeps getting bigger and better every year.
Well, that is fantastic. Spring Lake Country Club, Friday, May 17th. What happens if it rains that day?
You do get a voucher. So lunch will still be held, but you get a voucher to come back to the club at any time to play your round of golf.
Okay. If you've always wanted to play at Spring Lake, how much is a team entry?
A team entry is $500 a person, and that includes lunch, the 18 holes of golf, a golf cart, and beverages.
You mean $500 a team?
$500 a team. That is correct.
Does
yes.
that mean?
Yes. $500
for
a team.
Okay.
But if you would like to register a team and also have a whole sponsorship, that is $625, which gives you a $25 discount.
Okay. So super. So they need 18 whole sponsors. They need teams to participate. How many maximum teams would be?
36.
36.
Yeah, we can do 36.